This is CliffCentral.com.
Hello there. Welcome to Opinion Booth. And today's title or topic, if you would, women football, inequality, stereotyping, and perceptions. My guest in studio. Whew, it's so nice to have connections. It's so nice to have such a powerful black book. I sent her a message and, you know, asking, would you please be my guest? And she's like, I'm honored. I'm like, you're honored that I'm asking you for an interview? It's the other way around. I'm honored to have you in the studio. And then she goes on to call me Sisonia in the message when she responds. I'm like, yo, I'm not that old. I mean, you know, maybe I portray myself, you know, like an oldie kind of, I'm an old soul. And then when she says Sisonia, I was like, yo, okay, Nimdala. But honestly, you know, Amanda, Sonia, please, I insist. Sonia, Amanda Toki Dlamini, Banyana Banyana athlete, football analyst. I mean, and you're also an ambassador for brands and brands and brands. I mean, if I were to start naming all the brands that you're an ambassador for, the hour would be up, right? I mean, you are so well achieved. Your profile, your CV is super impressive. Yes, Amanda Dlamini is my guest today. And, it was your birthday on Saturday.
Yeah.
Were you spoiled?
Not really. I was on the field.
Oh,
yeah,
right.
Yeah, I had a game on Saturday, so.
And then after that, after party, no?
I was so injured, I just went straight to bed. Just a light dinner with friends, and that was it.
You injured? You don't look injured. You're walking fine.
Yeah, it made seem like I'm not injured, but I am.
Oh, dear. Who were you playing against?
We were playing with Zebra Force in the SASA League.
Oh, right.
We were playing in Soshanguve.
Oh, wow, okay, but your teammates, the Smolanyana bottle of something, and it's sparkling something, you know? No, Dom Perignon, nothing?
Nothing at all.
Not even Mkombo, back
no,
home?
So maybe I must still go back home.
Okay, you know what? Seeing that I've got so much love for you, and remember when I asked you, you know, your favorite songs, this is my Smolanyana birthday gift to you, so I know you're going to be jamming to the song. This is my birthday dedication to you.
Thank you.
Now, that's the kind of track that, you know, you would have partied at if your teammates were well organized, you know. They would have taken you out and you would have been jamming your valor, you know, to this track. Now tell me, I know how your nickname Toki came about, but the listeners want to know.
Yeah, well, let me start by greeting all the listeners.
Yes.
And thank you so much for inviting me again. It is really an honor, believe you me. But Utoki is a nickname that I got from my mom when she was carrying me and she was pregnant with me. There's a music artist that she liked, Baganga music artist, who was called Toki Toki. So she was jamming to that kind of music and then she decided that she'll give me the one Toki of the Toki Toki. But unfortunately, I couldn't sing. I still can't sing, but at least I inherited a talent of some sort, and it was football.
And you can dance?
I sort of can, but not really.
You can dance with your 2 feet. You know,
yeah,
you can kick with both your left and right, so that means you can dance.
Yeah, I know, without a doubt.
Now, you know what, Nip? I typed your name on Google as part of my research. I mean, I know Matthew has got your story when he interviewed you for his manuscript. But I thought, you know what, let me Google, because Google is very interesting. And I tell you why I Googled you. In as far as I know a lot about you. I mean, you work with my husband as well.
Yeah.
So, okay, I can't say I know a lot about you. I know a bit. I know more than Google and Wikipedia put together about you, right? And the most interesting thing, I don't know if you've ever Googled yourself, because there are people out there who Google themselves. There's nothing wrong with it. If you want to see where your brand is going, if you want to see how it's positioned, and you want to see how many hits you have, you've got over 300,000 hits, by the way, which is super impressive on Google. But interestingly enough with Google is that you're able to search the most typed words. So if I type your name, Amanda Dlamini, top 3 items. So anyone in the world that types the name Amanda Dlamini, the most searched items, what people want to know most about you, number one, is Amanda Dlamini married? That's the top search. So it means people have literally gone on Google and typed, is Amanda Dlamini married? That's the top one. Number two, Amanda Dlamini husband.
Oh, my word.
Number three, Amanda Dlamini love life. So, I mean, you got a lot of people that obviously want to pay lobola.
Yeah.
You've got people that obviously, you know, want to date you. You've got people that are crushing on you, because it's no coincidence that the top three searches after Amanda Dlamini is married, husband, love life. Are you surprised?
I'm very surprised. I am very, very surprised. I hardly ever go on Google. I do not know the stats, the facts. It's a surprise. But I think it's not really much of a surprise, because I sort of keep that part of my life very private. I think also with family. I don't think a lot of people know much about my family, because I don't really talk about that. So I think, yeah, it comes as a surprise, but not really of a surprise.
Are you available? So that these people can stop Googling, like save them their time and data and airtime. You're not available.
Nope.
She's not available. So stop Googling, is she married, her love life. And besides, it's none of your business. She's taken. She's taken. I'm glad we've cleared that out. So now we can move on,
okay,
right? In case anybody wanted to phone in and, you know, propose. Yeah. Jersey number 9. Any significance to that number, or was it just a number available?
It was just a number available, but it became a very personal number, because my favorite jersey number was number 7. And when I got to camp, because I was a rookie at Banyana, one of the girls that have been part of the team for the longest of time said, no, you can take that jersey because we've been here for the longest of time. So who are you to dictate terms and ask for whatever you want? So number 9 was the next available jersey. But then from there, and I just really cherish that jersey number, and everywhere I go, I always try to wear that jersey with pride. And I thought to myself, I'm writing something new. This is a new chapter, and this number is going to be of great significance.
So you've taken ownership of that number for as long as your footballing career lasts or exists?
No, absolutely.
Because I see even your social media profiles, most of them have got the number nine.
Yeah.
Okay. What is the most ridiculous stereotype or perception you've heard about female football players and athletes? Like something ridiculous where you think, I mean, are you kidding me? Really?
That if we train hard and we go to the gym a lot, we'll end up looking like men.
Aha.
It's so ridiculous. It is so ridiculous. For the longest of time, it really upset me.
Yeah.
But then I really channeled my mind in saying, this is my craft. This is my talent. If it is that I really want to perform to my level best, then I will be at the gym for 2 hours to 3 hours. If it is that I look like a man, it's fine. I will achieve whatever it is that I achieve, but we look nothing like men.
Yeah. No, you don't. I mean, you're beautiful. I'm sure you've heard this before. And I mean, you know, stereotypes are out there, but you are so eloquent. You know, Matthew's forever making a joke. So good. Football players are not like the sharpest, you know, tools. You know, the perception is out there. Just like people have this perceptions that, you know, models are like dumb. You know, you're supposed to sit there and look pretty and not have a brain over your shoulder kind of thing. But I mean, you are eloquent, and she is gorgeous. I mean,
thank you.
No wonder people are Googling if she's available. You know, so tell me, any relation to Mini Dlamini?
No.
Not related?
Not
like,
at all.
Like, you're not like distant cousins, your grandmother's cousin, sister's daughter's grand, you're not related?
Not even. But when we sit in studio, sometimes we think to ourselves, we've got the same nose. Maybe we're sort of related in some way, but
family tree, you haven't even attempted to put the dots together to see, okay, we both from KZN, you know, maybe her uncle and my grandmother got together at some point. Nothing, nothing like that.
Nothing of the sort.
Okay, so she made history by becoming the first woman to grace the cover of Soccer Magazine Kickoff. You know that, right? This almost broke, she's laughing because she knows what's coming. So this almost broke the internet, and it caused a stir on all social media platforms. I think the topic was trending for 2 days, right? These were some of the comments. Female soccer players, please. The next one. Sales are more important. She will bring sales to hell with actual players. When your social media currency weighs more than experience and level of expertise in the sporting field. These are people's comments. Don't shoot me. I love Mini. I really do. But I don't think she was the appropriate choice to be first woman to be on the cover of Kickoff magazine. There have been many women who've made valuable contributions to SA football. Many on the cover is a spit in their face. These are people's comments. Take nothing away from Minnie. She doesn't deserve that cover. She has done nothing for SA women's football. Disrespect by Kickoff magazine, the last one. After 478 issues featuring men on the cover, maybe we could have started with the actual national women's soccer team. It got heated. There were so many comments, but I just picked out a few, right? So my question to you is that, has Kickoff ever approached you to be on the cover, and will you agree to be featured in future should they decide to approach you?
Well, they've never approached me, but I've done a couple of, what can I say, inside profiles of myself, where I come from, and just the journey of football. But I've never done a cover, and should they approach me, yeah, I'd definitely honor that.
When you say you've never done a cover, you mean you've never done a cover
for Kickoff?
Oh, but you've done other publications.
Yes, yes.
Because I was going to say, geez, I mean, someone is fast asleep on their job.
No, I have. I have done a few. I have done a few.
Okay, so in future, if they approach you, you won't say no?
No, I won't.
I'm hoping they get their act together. Because, I mean, you're relevant. You know, if we're talking about women's football, or football in particular, if anybody's going to be on the cover of a magazine, I'm not just saying that because you're seated across me, but I'm one of the people that tweeted that I just didn't read my comment, you know, because I, you know, don't want anyone to accuse me of favoritism, yeah, or the fact that, yeah, you're saying that because you know Amanda and Amanda works with your husband kind of thing. I don't want to be accused, and I don't want any lawsuits, and, yo, I don't want anyone from Crazy and hostel to come after me. But let me just put it out there, Guti, in Zulu, you know, I'm half Zulu, half Tswana, so yeah, we all have the same bloodline.
Yeah.
So, Amanda, I'm sure you've heard of John McEnroe's statement in as far as Serena Williams was concerned.
Yeah.
So, he said, if Serena Williams played the men's circuit, she'd be like 700 in the world. And, I mean, this created another social media storm, right? And, I mean, bearing in mind that Serena is pregnant, she's supposed to be, you know, looking after herself, yeah, and, you know, relaxing. The last thing she needed was somebody that she actually respects, somebody who's a legend in the, you know, tennis world. Have you ever been compared to a male football player?
No, and I'm very happy that I've never been compared to any male football player, because I stand with the notion of I'm me, and therefore I'm going to represent myself as that person to such an extent that even when I was growing up, I never got any nicknames like Abu Sheikhsi or Jomo, you know, Doctor or Shoes. I think Shoes was a name that just stuck around for a little while, but then it faded away. And I was happy because now when I look back at how everything is happening in women's football, you sort of think to yourself, maybe not. You want to create your own brand. You want to create your own legacy. And I feel that that comparison is almost sort of like an insult.
Exactly.
And there's so many other remarks that you hear, some of these commentators, even on Casta as well. It's just disappointing that it almost seems as if African women shouldn't be that good enough.
Yes.
And for me, I'm just really happy I was never compared to any male footballer.
Oh, that's good. You've been quoted before, right? Particularly by Matthew, who interviewed you, like I said, he interviewed you for his upcoming book. And he quoted you as having said that you've been fielded before, you know, during your Banyana matches, players from Zambia and Equatorial Guinea. Please share some of those stories. And I'm curious as to that moment where you were, because obviously before a Banyana match, which is a national football team, mm-hmm. you do the national anthem, right?
Yeah.
So when I read this, I pictured you and the rest of your teammates like in a lineup, and then, you know, obviously if you're playing in South Africa, they will play their national anthem first, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then Nkosi Sikelela is about to play. And I mean, you would have only seen the players on the field or as you're walking, you know, down the tunnel yeah. onto the field. So I'm curious about that moment where you just about, you put your hand on your chest and you're just about to sing the national anthem. And you look at some of the, let's say, Zambian or Equatorial Guinea, the squad, at some of the players, and you think to yourself, no.
Question marks everywhere.
These are not women. Like, take me through that moment. You know, when you walk from the tunnel to when you're playing and the tackles that happen there, and just, you know, what frustrates you as to how can this happen. You know, take me through those moments.
Well, you know, it even starts before that, during warm ups, because during the warm ups, that's where you sort of get to analyze your position. What kind of warm up do they do? Can you maybe be able to see who's the target and who's not? Are they good? Are they not? And there are these some girls, and you're thinking, really? I thought I had the smallest sense of past, but then she has none whatsoever. And then you're like, no, maybe you can't be judgmental. They wouldn't field a guy because this is a national game, like
yes.
FIFA recognized sort of game.
Yes.
And at that time, against Equatorial Guinea, we had to qualify for the World Cup.
Yeah.
And we stood there again for the national anthems, and you're thinking, okay, they're starting in a starting lineup. And
yeah.
So what's going to happen? Okay, it's going to be very tough, obviously, because we could see from the physicalness of them. I mean, you could just see their stature that, no, listen, it's going down.
Yes.
It is going down. The game will start. Okay, they go down the line, one pass. They even out sprinting one of our best defenders, and you think to yourself, no, this can't be. This is not going to happen. But someone has to say something. Someone has to do something. Okay, we try to double team. It's a physical contest all of a sudden. It's elbows everywhere. But still, even when we double team with one or two of our best defenders, they still out sprint and muscle our defenders. Then we go and lose the game. And then later on, when they qualify for the World Cup, they are now disqualified from the team that will participate in Equatorial Guinea.
Mm-hmm.
And you think to yourself, we are hard done. I mean, we were in the semifinals playing against these guys.
Yeah.
And then no one would tell that these are actually guys.
Yeah.
Now they're having names like Maria because it's easy to forge. And you think to ourselves, no, guys, no, this is not allowed. And we think that we have been deprived a position in the World Cup or in a World Cup spot because of these two individuals. And no one would say anything. They just carry on with their lives. And when you look back now, 7 years down the line, they're nowhere to be seen. So it's just not right what happens in Africa in terms of player identities and the buying of citizenship and all of that, because really it deprives us of great opportunities. And people think that we are useless because that's what they say.
Yeah.
Banyana would never qualify for the World Cup, but they do not know the things that happened behind the closed doors. So as unfortunate as it was, we're still very hurt about that.
Is it the biggest problem in Africa, or have you encountered that when you play outside of Africa
biggest
as well?
Biggest problem in Africa. because even with the under-20s, our Basitana, they always have challenges in terms of players who are overage but have passports that would say they are 18 or 16. And you look at yourself, me and Amanda, being 29 and thinking, I could still go back and play, but
you could go and play for the under-17.
Exactly. So, I mean, those are some of the things that really let down Banyana, even Basitana, when it comes to World Cup qualifications, that other nations have an upper hand because of illegal things.
Oh, that is so unfortunate. You know, it takes something away from the game.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
The beautiful game.
Yeah, no. But we trust in our talents, so we do what we can do. And we've accomplished what we've accomplished with the fair play.
Yes.
And I'm hoping that soon we will qualify for the World Cup.
Yeah. I'll be rooting for you. Yeah. There's a comment here which I came across when I was doing a little bit of research for the show, because I wanted for us to touch on different topics.
Yeah.
The quote goes: Caster Semenya's problem isn't that she's intersex. It is that her femininity doesn't look how we want it to be. What is your opinion on that?
Absolutely, 100%. I think society has created this image of women, how women should all look this way. And I feel that we're letting down ourselves as African women, because if you have bigger curves, then you're not a woman enough. Or if you do not have curves or the right size of bust, then you're not woman enough. If you don't look as feminine as women should be, then you're not woman enough. So I think that society is also letting down women in sports, maybe, if I can put it that way, in terms of creating this ideology or image of how women should look and how women should perform in order to be classified as a proper female athlete.
Yes. What is your advice to a young girl? If a young girl were to come up to you and, you know, she's wanting to pursue football as a career, just like you've done, would you encourage her to pursue it, or would you attempt to dissuade her, given the struggles that you've been through? I mean, you've had positives and negatives. You've had hardships. We all know that, you know, male football players in particular, male athletes are better off. In most countries, they're better off than their female counterparts. Issues with sponsorships. I mean, let's start with salaries. You know, I don't even know if you get 10% of what Bafana players get. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Not even.
I mean, for me, it's a disgrace. And for me, you know, I don't know how much Matthew earned. I don't know how much he earned, but the 6 years that he spent in Russia, I know that one of the reasons that pushed him to go there, you know, was that financially it was rewarding. And I know a lot of women football players go to America because the foundational phase in America and other countries is so solid, and they take women's football so seriously. Mm-hmm. Something which we can do a lot better. In South Africa, right? So please tell me, you're looking at that young girl, and she's saying to you, Sis Amanda, I want to be like you. What advice? Where do I start? What do I do?
Well, I always give advice based on just my life. I grew up in the rural areas of Ehatingi, where there was no female team existing. I had to play with the boys to sort of realize my talent. So I'd honestly tell them that you can never make football a career in South Africa. You cannot live off it. Therefore, you have to go to school. Whether you like it or not, you have to balance your school and your football, because obviously you need to train. You need to sort of refine and retune your talent so that you get better and better. But you have to finish school. I had to leave Ehatingi in the rural areas, go to Durban to find an all-girls team. And I then moved to UJ because I got the scholarship. And if it is that I didn't finish my matric, I would have never received that scholarship or sports bursary. So it has to be school first, get the sports bursary, and obviously find a team in the SASL League, because that's where we all play football at the moment. And the crazy thing is that we are called international elite athletes when we perform at those international levels, but back at home, we're still considered as amateur footballers. So of which, like you say, on the ground, there's still so much that needs to be done. And if it is that we need to sort of copy some of the other references that other countries have developed to sort of have a proper structure in terms of tackling this challenge that we have in women's football, then let's do that. I can never go into detail about the financial barriers and the difference between us and the guys. I think I've moved away from that, because that's one thing that you never will win against. But also just to encourage corporates to come on board, support women's football, support women's sports, because it's not just football only. I mean, hockey also suffer, cricket also suffer, athletics, they need funding. So I think people need to just come together and work as a unit, because if it is that we will rely on associations or the LFA alone, I think we wouldn't survive. I mean, SASL on their own, they've been with Banyana for 9 years. Just that whole sole sponsorship. And you're trying to tell me over 9 years you couldn't get any other additional sponsors? It just doesn't make sense. It just doesn't add up. So if it is that they were able to support us through two Olympic qualifications, then I'm sure there's so much more that still can be done.
Absolutely. Are there times when you think to yourself, geez, why didn't I choose tennis instead? Because I know you were good at three other sporting yeah. codes, right? So any regrets in choosing football? I mean, given the politics, you know, football as a professional career as opposed to other sporting codes, which you were equally talented in.
Yeah, well, I don't live in regrets. I feel that this path maybe... this was a calling for me. Maybe if I had taken up athletics, because that was the first thing that was close to my heart and I excelled in athletics, I wouldn't have had the success that I've had with football. And I mean, I owe it to the association SAFA as well, for the national team, SASL, for setting up the league in which we have to play in week in and week out. If it is that I was in athletics, maybe I would have made a lot of money, but not a direct impact on the lives that I've had with football. I've gone to have a foundation, the Amanda Dlamini Girls Foundation, where we encourage the young girls through education and sports, and that is having a direct impact with the sort of people that look up to you. And for me, I feel that football has really given me everything that I could ever wish for.
Wow. The world rankings for women football... So, world rankings, women football. Why are you laughing?
Don't lie.
Can you tell me why you're laughing when I haven't finished my sentence?
I'm just saying, numbers don't lie.
Okay, so SA is ranked 53rd. I'm not sure about Bafana Bafana.
One major shift.
Do you know Bafana Bafana's world ranking? Like maybe 55, maybe 60? No.
Nah, I don't know.
Honestly, or you just saying it just nah, I don't out know. Of politeness? Okay, so women's football, SA is ranked 53rd. Mm. Oh, considering we have a population of 55 million and we ranked 53rd, right? I sure. mean, yeah, that's like a percentage.
Sure.
What can SAFA learn from the USA, who are top ranked in the world? So what can SAFA learn from USA, Germany, who's second, France? So the Women's Football Association, from all those countries, what teachings can they give SAFA?
Well, I think the first thing is there are no shortcuts in terms of grassroots development, because if you travel to all these countries that you've mentioned, girls start playing football at the age of 7, and it's a proper structure. It doesn't have to be SAFA that is doing that, but I think... people who are part of football are the ones that normally have that, and they set up all of those structures. So there are no shortcuts to women's football. We need to do it in a very proper way. Second and foremost is that just trust in the cause. At times it's good that you can just plunge into something and really invest in it. And I think where women's football is concerned in South Africa, we should have had a professional league a long time ago. I mean, you look at the likes of Portia, Amudise, Veronica Pewa, who have been part of the structure and have really sort of faded out. But we never got to see their truest potential, because it was never seen, it was never nourished in a way that they could present themselves on a professional scale in the country. So just at times, it's good to just invest in something, just really plunge in it. But like I said, if it is that we have to go and copy some of the references that have been put in place and that are working, we should do that.
In 2005, Ray Knetling, I hope I'm pronouncing his surname correctly. Ray in Afrikaans means rich. So Ray Knetling was offered 50 million to swim for Qatar. An offer he turned down. Would you have done the same?
Yeah. Absolutely.
5-0.
5-0, absolutely. No, absolutely.
Tell me.
I think we briefly spoke about that earlier on the show, about how other countries in Africa sort of go the illegal way to qualify for the World Cup. And I don't think I would find that fulfillment and joy if I had done that, you know. So I think for me, any day, if you call on me to represent Banyana Banyana South Africa, I'd do it running. I've been doing it for the past 10 years, and I've never had a check of over 50,000 from the association, and I will still keep doing that because it's my passion. I love my country, and I find the success that I have in this country, so I would have also turned it down.
Oh, wow, that's commendable. Not many people can turn it. I mean, even 5 million, I would have said, adios, amigos, I'm out. I'm off to Qatar, you know, because times are hard now.
No,
I mean,
listen,
junk status
you,
now,
you
right?
You can miss go out there, like, you'll come back.
You're right. But 50 million, I was like, what? Who turns down 50 million? Yeah, but no. Yeah, I mean, okay, looking back now, he doesn't need the cash, but I mean... Yo, 50 million.
Yeah, some of us need
I'm available if anyone wants to offer me that kind of money to go and live in a different, even Qatar. I mean, even if it's like 40 degrees Celsius, you know, I would go anytime. So now, what would the title of your book be if you were to decide I'm writing a book today? What would the title be?
The Girl Under the Tree by Amanda Dlamini.
Tell me more about that.
The Girl Under the Tree, because there was a time where I was asked to go for trials back in KZN to make the provincial team that would go and participate in the interprovincial games. And because I didn't think that I was good enough, I went to the trials, asked for money. My mom gave me transport money. I went to the trials and I sat under a tree. And everyone went through the selections. I just sat there from 12 o'clock until 3 o'clock. And I got back home. My mom asked, so how were the trials? I was like, oh, no, they were good. How did it go for you? And I said, no, I didn't make it because there were better people that were there. And when I look at my life now and what I've achieved, all those players that I thought were better than me or maybe that were just greater than who I was, yes, they've been part of the structures but have never really accomplished what or achieved what I have. And I think that that would be a message to any other girl that if you don't believe in yourself, who will? And maybe it was a good thing that I sat under the tree so that I can maybe work harder. But for any other person, that opportunity would never come again. So that would be the name of my book.
Okay. And then are you ever going to write an autobiography at some point in your life? Is it something that you would consider?
Yeah, I'm always just taking notes about all sorts of events that are happening in my life, from the African Women Championships to the Olympic Games to the first time I scored for Banyana Banyana. Everything is just happening around me. I'm just making notes. Hopefully one day I'll be inspired too.
If a movie was ever written about you, who would you choose to play your character and why?
I choose you.
Come again?
Yeah, I definitely choose you.
Did she say me?
Yeah.
Huh?
Yes.
Why?
Because I feel like ever since I've gotten to know you and being on the show, I can see a few things that I don't have and I would love to have, the self-confidence. I think I didn't believe in myself when I was growing up, and I think you'd play the role better than anyone else. And being, you know, when we had our conversations on WhatsApp, like you say, you're saying sis Sonia, and I'm thinking that is just how I grew up.
Yes.
You know, so also the chat about the ratchetness of the music or the songs that I choose, and we could also, you know, sort of relate on that, but also the way that you carry yourself and how you go about your business, and when it's professional time, the professionalism is required. And I don't have the etiquette that you have, and I think you definitely portray me in a better way than anyone else.
That's Amandla. Yeah, Amandla to you. Power to you. Yeah.
Yeah.
It wasn't just a slip of a tongue. Amandla. You know, woman power. You know, power to you. Yeah. But I mean, for you to say that, wow, I'm humbled. But I didn't pay her, by the way. And I don't think Matthew's not paying you either, right?
No.
I mean, you know, I'm supposed to be gifting you, you know, seeing that it was your birthday on Saturday. But the next song is also one of your favorites. You know, it was your birthday. So this is my way of saying happy belated. So here's one of your favorites.
Thank you.
You know what's interesting? The title of that song, Camouflage, is that you mentioned that you kind of like a shy person. So I mean, is it about the title? Is it about the melody, or does it, you know, evoke emotions?
It evokes a lot of emotions, especially because I mean, as a football player, I've realized that people sort of, because they relate and appreciate what you do for them. People sort of have those expectations, and if it is that you don't live up to those expectations, people are sometimes disappointed. But if it is that you're always going to try and please people, it's not going to happen. I'm not perfect. Yes, I have my mistakes, but I always try to do my best, and I rely so much on God, and hence this song, because I always try to just keep a very low profile and just go about my business.
Are there things that you still want to achieve? I mean, you're very young, 29. I'm not even going to tell you how old I am. But if I were to tell you my age, then you do qualify to call me Sis Sonia. But I just didn't want, you know, to feel that old, you know. But Sis Sonia was actually better than, I mean, someone has called me auntie. I'm somebody else's aunt. But, I mean, someone who's very close to me in age once called me Auntie Sonia. I'm like, there's like a very small age difference between the two of us. Please don't make me, do I look that old? No. So, are there still things that you want to achieve? Are there still, you know, experiences that you want to experience? That's English for you. I just said that. Bucket lists, places you want to travel?
When you talk about places that I'd love to travel, I've always wanted to travel and go to the USA because that was just like on my bucket list. And I had the privilege and honor of traveling with Banyana when we were preparing for the 2016 Rio Olympic Games. We played a friendly in the USA and we played just on my birthday. And I was being honored and I made my 100th appearance. So for me, that was
major.
More of a bucket list. Yeah, it was something very big for me. So, yeah, I think now I can say I've traveled because I've been to the US. But in terms of still achieving so much in terms of football, I'd love to play in the World Cup. I still want to play for Banyana and play in the World Cup. So we still also want to win the African Women Championships. We've always come out third or second. And for me, I still feel that we can still do so much better. But I have this interest in business, and I really want to explore that about myself and see what I can do. Because when I was young, I always saw myself in a corporate office, in a corner office somewhere, and really going into imports and exports, that supply chain trade. So I still want to see if I can live those expectations, because I have graduated from UJ in logistics, so maybe I could put that into practice.
So I like the fact that, you know, you spoke earlier about the advice you would give to your young girl, that you stressed the importance of education, because one cannot escape from that, especially as a sports person. There are no guarantees guarantees against injury, right? Mm. So if you don't have an education, if you want to take shortcut routes, as you've alluded earlier, is that with you know that whatever happens, you've got something to fall back on. Now, with the work that you do with your foundation, I mean, do you go to schools? Do you tell these girls? Do you tell these young boys that, you know, it's all very well that you want to take the shortcut route and you're considering going pro at the age of 16 if you're talented enough? You know, please talk to that young boy out there, the young girl out there who just has it in their mind that as soon as they are scouted by a professional team, the first thing they're going to do is to buy the latest BMW, the Dolphin or the Gusheshe, whatever that they want to buy. Mm. That's what happens. So you need to give a hard-hitting message out there and don't hold anything back. Give real advice to a young boy, a young girl out there, the advice that once you start, you know, getting that million rand, signing on fee, you know, considering buying that BMW, the Mercedes-Benz, and then you go and rent an apartment in the middle of Sandton and the rent is like 20,000 rands, and yet you've got nothing to fall back on, and then you pick up an injury, and then what? And then you have to go back to a backyard room, back in Pimville. Please just put it out there.
Yeah, well, I think the first thing is that we shouldn't look at getting an education as something to fall back on. It's one may argue. For me, I feel it's a process of life. Yes, you might not learn a whole lot of things, but if it is that you're a child that is raised by a family, you go through that process of life that you need to go to school, whether you have a talent or not. And for the young girls in our country, sports for us is not a career. It's still a hobby, unfortunately, and that is just a fact. It's the truth. We still have to have tons of, I don't know, appointments, because we are freelancers in this industry. So you'll move from this motivational talk to the other because you're trying to make a living from such things. Yet the guys can just wake up and go to work every single day to training, and that is their job. So for us as young females, we need to go to school and make sure that we make that work. If it means that you qualify for engineering and you go and work in an engineering field, do that. And then football can come afterwards, because it's not even about breaking a leg before you realize that I will not make it. But also, if you're not picked at all, if you do not make the selection criteria, what happens next? So they need to go to school, because yes, people may look at the Instagram post and everything of Amanda Dlamini and think, oh wow, she's living the life. No, we have to be transparent and be the role models for kids that are just as transparent. And for the young guys, it's very difficult, because they see all of these boys. I mean, there's shows that profile them with these glamorous cars and everything, this glamorous life. It's not always about that. They also start somewhere and work hard. And for me, I've always said, these boys, if it is that they're really rooted in who they are and where they come from, they would never forget, because then it's easy to just, you know, be all over. I mean, everyone wants to come to Joburg to make a living. But for the guys, It's they buy these fast cars and everything, but people fail to invest. And if it is that you went to school, you'd know how to invest. You'd have that general knowledge. So I think for the guys, they've seen how things have happened in the PSL. So many big names that have fallen in the trap of having this big signing on deal, and then later on in 6 months they have no money. They wouldn't want to be another statistic of being that person that falls into that trap. So they need to learn from the role models that they see. And we need more guys to come out that have lived that life, have gone through it, to be better role models to these boys and be better mentors. So having said that, we really need to, I think as football players, really need to consider our lives and look at how times have changed. Everything is in demand. Everything is of high value. And if it is that you splurge now and you can see how the junk status, like you said earlier, we won't be able to take care of ourselves in the long run.
Oh, sure. I'm going to make you choose one of the two. I've got listed items. There are no buts. There are no ifs. I ask you to choose between the two, and you give me an answer based on the two. No negotiating. Man United or Baroka FC?
Baroka FC.
TV or a book?
TV.
Mshoza or Amanda Black?
Mshoza.
Cuesta or Kulichana?
Cuesta.
Spikiri or Sinyaga?
Spikiri.
Alaska or Tiergas?
Alaska.
Beach resort or safari?
Beach resort.
Nightclub or jazz lounge?
Sure. Nightclub.
Sci-fi or comedy?
Comedy.
Denzel Washington or Morgan Freeman?
Ooh, Denzel, any day.
Viola Davis or Halle Berry?
Halle Berry.
Lace or cotton?
Lace.
G-string or bum shorts?
G-string.
Thank you, Amanda, for your time. I got you, right?
You did.
And by the way, the first question about Man United or Baroka FC, I know you're a Man United, a Man City fan. So I just had to put you on the spot. And then I asked Matthew, I said, who can I put, you know, for her to choose between Man United and another team? And Matthew said, Baroka FC.
Because it's not
going to be an easy one. So I did it on purpose, you know, because I know you can never ask a Manchester City player to talk about Man United.
Never.
It's like rivals of note. Thank you so, so much for your time.
Thank you so much.
You know, I'm all about creating legacies. And I'm glad you've done exactly that. I mean, you're a 29-year-old. You've created a legacy by establishing the Amanda Dlamini Foundation. Big ups to you.
Thank you.
A lot of people can learn from you. And I had so much fun with you today. And I'm glad I got the chance to not only know you through your music, but also play your music as your, you know, belated birthday gift. Thank you so much, Amanda.
Thank you very much. And thank you to everyone that has been part of the show. I really appreciate it.
Awesome. Awesome. My humble opinion, after all, this is the opinion booth. Female athletes like Serena and Casta have been catapulted into a misogynistic witch hunt that proves that regardless of what a woman achieves, she will always be questioned or undermined. SAFA, SASCOC, and Corporate SA needs to start supporting women's sporting codes wholeheartedly. Women's sports are as equally important as male sports. Get your house in order. After all, sports is an option as a career. Not everyone is an academic. You don't need to be an academic to be successful in life. Better yet, know that one cannot separate sports and education. Aspire to inspire before you expire.
This is CliffCentral.com.